Psalm 40 as we see more occasions for doubt and temptation in Joseph, but how the Lord is with him and does not forget him. We add that to this theme tonight, Genesis 40, and I'll be reading from verse 1 down through the end of the chapter. And as you're turning there, I just remind you of what we've seen so far, where we are. Joseph, after being sold into slavery in Egypt, has risen to prominence, to leadership over the whole house of Potiphar. Things seem to be going well. And then he has been falsely accused by Potiphar's wife of assaulting her. And that has caused him to be imprisoned. We left him there in prison. But through all of this, we've seen that Joseph was not alone. The Lord was with Joseph. We saw that phrase over and over. The Lord was with Joseph. And this evening, we're going to be introduced to two new prisoners who come there to be along with Joseph. And we'll look at their visions, their dreams. And so let's pray, and then we'll read Genesis 40. Oh, Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how unique and amazing and marvelous it is, that it is living and active and powerful, and it convicts, it transforms, it shapes us. And so thank you for this gift of your word and your spirit to us. Help us to receive your word by faith and to be transformed by it. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a bit of a lengthy reading again. It's the whole of the chapter, so you may remain seated for this reading as we give our attention now to God's word in Genesis chapter 40. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard, in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers, who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." And then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And Joseph said to him, "This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon." When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head." So Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. And thus ends the reading of God's holy word. Well, let's meet these new companions of Joseph in prison here. We read in verse 1, "It came to pass after these things." These things refer to Joseph's imprisonment, the false accusations, his imprisonment at the end of chapter 39. And so sometime after Joseph's imprisonment, these events take place. How long was that? Well, we're not told here, the time lapse there. But remember, broadly that when Joseph was 17, he was sold into slavery. That was in chapter 37, verse 2. And he was 30 when he was made second in command under Pharaoh. So there's this 13-year gap between those times. The amount of time in Potiphar's house plus whatever time he was imprisoned, 13 years. And that's a long time. 13 years is a long time. And we know that after this event here, he's going to spend 2 more years in prison before he's released because the butler forgot about him. And we'll think about that a little bit too. But certainly 13 years, a lot of years seemingly wasted, certainly undergoing hardship and injustice and disappointment, to be sure. We might be tempted to say, well, think of all that Joseph could have done if he wasn't enslaved and in this misery. But actually, none of it was wasted in terms of God's providence. God ordained every single one of those 13 years for his glory and for Joseph's good. God works all things together for our good. All the years of our lives, all the experiences of our lives, and even those parts of our lives that we've wasted by living in rebellion, or that have been taken us from us by the sin of others, or even in our suffering, none of those years, none of those experiences are meaningless, purposeless, wasted, none of them. All of them are used by God, and all of them have been ordained by God. Every part of the story God is writing has a point. And the story that is unfolding in your life right now, in the midst of all that is going on, has a greater purpose. And so though we can't understand exactly what's going on, we can take heart in light of that truth, and we can learn from that to trust God more, to grow in our trust in him. Nothing that happens to you is outside of the providence of God. All things work together for our good. And this is how the Heidelberg Catechism beautifully puts it. God, by his power, upholds, as with his hand, heaven and earth and all creatures, and so rules them that leaf and blade, rain and drought, fruitful and lean years, food and drink, health and sickness, prosperity and poverty, all things, in fact, come to us not by chance, but from his fatherly hand. These were lean years for Joseph, and yet God was with Joseph the whole time. They were not wasted years. He was under God's fatherly hand of providence the whole time, as are we all as his children. Well, sometime after this imprisonment of Joseph, we have the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt. They've offended their lord, they've offended Pharaoh somehow, and they are placed in prison. As the butler of the king and as the baker, the chief baker, they had positions of great responsibility and they had the king's ear and they had influence. But in this case, they've committed some sort of offense against Pharaoh and he throws them into prison. That's verse 3. And it just so happens it's the very same prison where Joseph was confined. Now it seems they deserve to be imprisoned, unlike Joseph. But notice verse 4. And the captain of the guard, who was... remember Potiphar, unless somebody's taken Potiphar's place, but as far as we know, as we were told in the last chapter, Potiphar's the captain of the guard. The captain of the guard has Joseph personally care now for the baker and the butler. And that goes on for some time. God's plan is unfolding here. He's providentially ruling over the butler and over the baker and over Pharaoh and over Potiphar and over Joseph and all of these things. And Joseph is now called to serve these two new prisoners. The Lord is with Joseph. And all things are happening to him, not by chance, but from God's fatherly hand. And so Joseph is charged, as you see, with their care. And then during this time of Joseph's care of the butler and the baker, they have these dreams. Verse 5. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream. Both of them. Each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation, which Joseph will give in just a minute. Joseph arrives in the morning after that night when they've had these dreams, and he sees that these two are very troubled because these aren't ordinary dreams. These are visions. And Joseph approaches them and asks why they're so sad, and they explain that they've had these dreams, these visions, but nobody can explain their meaning to them. The butler and the baker have these visions on the same night, which they understand apparently to be significant. They sense that it was something about their future, their fate, but they had no clue what they mean. And Joseph finds them in the morning noticeably disturbed and upset. And so he asks them that simple but kind question, isn't it? Why do you look so sad today? Why do you look so sad today? Now, if Joseph hadn't bothered to ask, they may have never told him what was wrong. And that can be the power, that can be the effect, the importance of a single caring question, a question of genuine concern for one another, of looking out for others' interests and not just our own. And Joseph follows that up with genuine concern and care. He listens to the response, and you'll see in a minute that he reminds them of God, that that's where they should be looking, and of his truth. Matthew Henry says about this, for each of us to consider, he says, "Let us learn hence to inquire into the causes of our own sorrow. Wherefore do I look so sad? Is there a reason? Is it a good reason? Is there not a reason for comfort sufficient to balance it, whatever it is?" Good questions. "Why art thou cast down, O my soul?" That's from Psalm 42, verse 5. "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." So the butler and the baker tell Joseph they have these dreams that they can't understand. And look at Joseph's response then in verse 8. So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." It's a bold statement. Joseph is basically saying interpretations belong to the God, not to man, to the true God, not the false gods of Egypt. It's a God-honoring response. It's pointing these two unbelievers to the one true God, because only God knows the future. Only God can reveal the future to man when and how he pleases. That's what Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10 teaches. "For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose." Now, what Joseph says here to the baker and the butler is very similar. There's a lot of these sort of parallels and similarities as we go through the story of Joseph. But it's very similar to what he'll say to Pharaoh in the next chapter. Chapter 41, verse 14. "Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him quickly out of the dungeon. And he shaved, changed his clothing, and came to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'I have had a dream, and there is no one who can interpret it. But I have heard it said of you that you can understand a dream to interpret it.'" And then here's Joseph's answer to Pharaoh, saying, "It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace." Daniel says something very similar as well in Daniel chapter 2. He says to the king, "No wise man, enchanters, magicians, or astrologers can show to the king the mystery that the king has asked. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days." So in the case of King Nebuchadnezzar, in the case of Pharaoh of Egypt and our butler and baker, God is revealing things to them. God's speaking to them through dreams, which was a not uncommon way that he spoke to people in the Old Testament. Our confession in chapter 1, paragraph 1 says about this, "It pleased the Lord at sundry times and in diverse manners, including dreams, to reveal himself and to declare that his will unto his church, and afterwards for the better preserving and propagating of the truth, for the more sure establishment and comfort of the church against the corruption of the flesh and the malice of Satan and the world, to commit the same wholly unto writing, which maketh the holy scripture to be most necessary, those former ways of God revealing his will unto his people being now ceased." God is not giving us new special revelation today through visions like this, because he's given us all we need in his word, all things necessary for life and godliness. But let's look then at the interpretation of these dreams. Let's look at how the butler and the baker's dreams are interpreted. Verse 9, we have the butler's dream first. And then if you look down at verse 16, that's the baker's dream. So verse 9, then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Joseph gives the interpretation, verse 12. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. And since Joseph knows from the interpretation of this dream that the butler will be restored to his position before Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, he requests in verse 14 and 15 that the butler remember him. Please just mention me to Pharaoh. Get me out of this prison. I've been taken against my will, from my land, from my family. I've been imprisoned unjustly. Please remember me. Well, the baker likes this interpretation. And so he relates his dream. Verse 16. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream. And there were 3 white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh. And the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. Well, it means he didn't get to serve his food to Pharaoh. And Joseph now gives the interpretation, and he said, this is the interpretation of it. The 3 baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Wow. Joseph doesn't hold back. He says, baker, this is what God says to you. You're going to be executed. Your body will be hanged on a tree for the birds to pick at and eat. Joseph's always been truthful. He's bold to tell the truth when it's uncomfortable to someone else, and even when it may cost him a lot, it seems to get him in some trouble sometimes. But the truth is that important. And as Christians, we have the truth with a capital T. We have God's word. And it's an uncomfortable truth to a dead world, to people dead in sin and trespasses. It's an inconvenient truth to the world. And the truth is that we are all sinners. We are all guilty before God, deserving his wrath. We are dead in sin and trespasses, and we need to be made alive. And we can't make ourselves alive. We need to be born again by the Spirit of God. But it's only when they know the truth and come to understand that they are sinners in need of a Savior that they will then be able to see the good news about that Savior. And so what a privilege and responsibility to convey that truth, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has come into the world to save us from our sins. And when we simply put our trust in him to save us, his perfect record of obedience, his righteousness becomes ours. His atoning sacrifice covers all of our sins, and we're granted eternal life, justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the truth. And the world will not want to hear it, but the world needs to hear it. It needs to hear the revelation of the gospel in Christ Jesus, and we need the boldness to tell them. Well, God grants boldness to Joseph. He was with him. And Joseph tells the truth to the baker about his dream. And then look at the fulfillment now of these interpretations in verse 20 and following. These dreams are fulfilled. They come about just as Joseph has said. And that shouldn't surprise us, because these interpretations belong to God. God gave these interpretations to Joseph. So, of course, it happened just as he said. Verse 20. Now it came to pass on the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, as he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Well, their heads are lifted up in very different ways. The dreams, the interpretations of these dreams come true. The chief baker executed, the chief butler is restored. But there's that sad twist for Joseph's story at the end. The chief butler completely forgets Joseph, doesn't mention him to Pharaoh, And so Joseph continues for a couple more years imprisoned unjustly. One wonders, was this forgetting intentional on the part of the butler? You know, he didn't want to complicate issues with Pharaoh. I don't want to suggest to you, Pharaoh, that there's another God more powerful who can interpret dreams and said this would all happen. But for whatever reason, he doesn't mention Joseph. He puts him out of his mind. He forgets him. And that certainly must have been distressing for Joseph. But certainly God had not forgotten Joseph. The Lord was still with Joseph. God never forgets his people. If we're honest, we forget often. We often forget God. When we sin, often what we're doing is forgetting God. We're refusing to remember him. But God never forgets you. No matter how bad things are, no matter how disappointed you may be, no matter how sorrowful your situation, God never forgets you. And he remembers you like he remembered Joseph, even when everyone else forgot him. Isaiah 49, verse 15 says it so beautifully. Can a woman forget her nursing child, that she should have no compassion on the son of her womb? Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. God does not lose track of you. He doesn't take his eye off of you even for a moment. He doesn't forget your name. He doesn't forget anything about you. He knows you through and through. He sees you and he's with you and he remembers you all the time. And so, yes, we may be disappointed facing trial and much sorrow. We may feel lonely. You may be in the pit. But you're not forgotten and the Lord is with you. You're not forgotten and the Lord is with you. Even these may forget, yet I will not forget you. Let us pray. Our God, how kind you are. Thank you for these passages that remind us of your presence. And we're so thankful that you never forget us, that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. For we are your people, your children, adopted into your family, united to your Son. And, Lord, I pray that you would encourage each one here, that you would encourage our hearts with these truths. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.